Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on a rainy, nasty Sunday morning. I guess you appreciate the mother really nice mornings that mostly we have here in Georgia, but today is one of those days, at least for the next hour or so. If you ain't got to go anywhere, make it an hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours. If you ain't got to go anywhere, stay inside. But we thank you for letting Sam and I be a part of your Sunday mornings here on this 29th day of December. Head into the 7 o'clock hour. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to all you first responders who unfortunately got to be out there right now, maybe doing some stuff. And we also reach out to the teachers in Jonesboro.
In Jonesboro,
right there, down there by 75. Was it Clayton State College?
Right up the street.
Right there, mm-hmm. Yeah. By the National Archives.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been here for a minute. I know what's going on.
That's a nice campus, too, for people.
It is very nice. They got an auditorium there, one of those where you stand on one side of it, and you don't need a microphone on stage.
Really?
Yeah, if you're performing there and the way they have it set up, it is acoustically perfect. It's one of those, you know, you can just stand and talk and it echoes and everybody hears you clearly.
Really?
Did a video on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I know about there. Caleb Johnson is going to be joining us in a little bit, going to talk about some of these Hall of Famers. And yes, Sam and I will spend some time individually and maybe with some of our guests talking about Greg Gumbel.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a little bit.
Yeah. So anyway. As always, top of the 7 o'clock hour, man, the floor is yours. You want an insignificant tidbit first?
Go ahead.
Something that happened on this day. Remember we talked about there's a first day for everything?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. Today was the first day of a bowling ball. The bowling ball was invented on this date.
With or without the holes?
Well, obviously it would have to be. Otherwise, it'd just be a circle. It'd just be a stone of something.
You can hold it without being.
No, it wouldn't make it a bowling ball. You'd have to be with the hole because you would have no holes. You got to put your fingers in there to bowl.
No.
Okay, then it's something else. It's another game. If you're just taking a round object and rolling it down, you know, to knock down some pins. They got that. Is it bocce ball or something?
Bocce ball.
Okay, well, we're not talking about bocce
ball. That's a smaller ball.
Yeah, we're talking about bowling balls. The bowling ball was invented on this date. You want the date?
Yeah, what did they use a drill?
Apparently so. That would make it officially a bowling ball. 1862. Yeah, that's what they say. Now, you want to go argue with the dude who invented it and say, did you put holes in it or whatever? That's on you. But I'm assuming that because it's
for you,
called
so you're
a
assuming. I'm assuming that it didn't have holes in it.
But it wouldn't make a bowling ball in. Okay, am I speaking English? You got to have the holes to make it a bowling ball. Otherwise, it's something else. Well, how else?
In bowling pins. The pins, you're rolling down in bowling pins, right?
I worked with you long enough to know that you're just having some fun with me. You're just
Eric, what you know about this?
What does he know about it?
Yeah, man.
Whose side would you believe is more palpable here when it comes to making it an actual bowling ball as opposed to this round ball that Mr. Crenshaw is saying could still be a bowling ball?
Greg, I'm going to go with you. Sam, don't take that personally, but okay. You know, he looks like a bowler.
Well, I got nothing to do with it. I'm not a bowler. Although I will tell you some of
What I got to do, you got bowling pins.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what's it got to do with having a hole drilled in the ball?
To throw the ball down there to knock down the pins.
You're going
to
shoot the ball in. You get all
then
the ball
it's two-handed. That's what. That's
no, you're going to put the ball in one hand and just roll the ball.
Okay.
You don't have to have holes in the ball to do that.
Yes,
but,
you do.
But the best bowlers get their ball fitted to their fingers.
Yes.
Now, eventually they did, but I'm talking about when
Fred Flintstone was bowling. That's what I was about to say. He was pretty good.
Yeah, you're going back to Fred Flintstone, then it didn't have no holes in it. They have no drills. But okay, while you're doing your local thing, I'm going to look and see if it had holes in that first one. And then I'll come back and give you information.
Yeah, well, you won't tell me the truth.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
No, you won't.
But I'll tell you exactly where I got it. You can go look it up yourself. Bowling ball with no holes. Come on.
Who made that? AMF? Brunswick?
Yeah, in 1862, it was the Brunswick Company. That's exactly who did it.
Just a few college notes, folks. College basketball around the area yesterday. Georgia Tech was home. They get a win over Alabama A&M 92-49. A lot of these games are like last games before you get into your conference schedule. Full tilt, which Tech has played a couple of conference games already. They played North Carolina. They played Duke. So that was a win for them, 92-49. Georgia State falls at home to Mercer. Mercer beats them 71-68. Not the way the Panthers want to go into conference play, but that's what they're going to do now after that loss to Mercer and try to get into the win column, right, and get into the Sun Belt play. A couple of games happening today. Kennesaw State does play today against Bruton Parker. That's a tune-up before they get into their conference play in Conference USA. That's at 2 o'clock today at KSU Convocation Center. Also, South Carolina State is in Athens today, 2 p.m., to take on this Georgia team that is a story. Yeah, while everybody's been focusing on the football, maybe we've been sleeping on the Georgia basketball team. 11-1, Mike White's team is off to a great start. They're at home this afternoon at 2 p.m. Also, I'm working over at GSU Convocation Center. Georgia State women are playing at 2 o'clock today, taking on Southern Miss. That's the start of conference schedule for the women's program. Of course, we got the Georgia Tech women have an outstanding season so far at 13-0. They're up to 13 in the country. And I don't know, people really appreciate the coach there at Georgia Tech, Nell Fortner, and what she has accomplished, what she's doing with this team and what they're doing this season is remarkable. But she, her resume is so remarkable when you think about where she's coached before, been a National College Coach of the Year. She's coached the U.S. national team. She's coached the Olympic team to gold medal. And now she's here in Atlanta, recently celebrating her 100th victory as coach at Georgia Tech. So they're doing some great things over there. And, you know, she had a chance, like I said, to sit and talk with her. I mentioned the other day. And that she's downright giddy when she talks about the women's game, the visibility that it has at the collegiate level, at the professional level. So it's great to see her and see the team do well. And you look forward to seeing what they do once things pick back up with play. They're going to play later on today. They got Pitt coming in today at 2 o'clock. They're going to be at home today. So you want to check out this Georgia Tech women's team, what they're doing, nationally ranked 13th. She's excited about some freshmen that are coming to the program, local products from the Georgia area. And we always talk about when March Madness rolls around, where are the Georgia players? They're playing somewhere else, but here they are on TV playing for other places. She's able to get some to look at things at Tech and stay at home and play. And so they are going into conference play today, starting at 2 o'clock. That's what's happening. Shout out to all the teams that played high school holiday tournaments that have gone on that are still going on. Maybe we catch up with Kyle Sandy tomorrow and let us know what has happened so far and which teams have made it to the finals of those holiday tournaments that are going on. And it's different this year because the way the calendar lays, the way the holiday hits on Wednesday. By the way, in case you lost track, today is Sunday. And they'll do that to you when the holiday hits in the middle of the week like we got right now. But so the basketball tournaments have been going on the last couple of days, many of them Friday and Saturday. Some played on Thursday, but most were Friday, Saturday, and they'll play one more day tomorrow. So we talked about especially the teams that come from out of town, logistics, having a place for those teams to stay today. You know, it's a rainy day. You got, you know, high school basketball teams in an area. First of all, you got to feed them folks. So they're around town, the area. We're glad you're here. Hope you're enjoying your stay in Atlanta if you're in town for a high school event that's taking place. Great competition here as always. And get ready to play their final day tomorrow and then get ready to head for home. So that's some of the things that are happening around the area. It's happening today. And
okay.
What have you found out? Because you've been over there just scurrying.
Well, I told you I was going to do while you guys were going back and forth, and I thought Eric was going to jump in with you here. But I can tell you right now that it says in 1894, patent shows. Now, again, I told you that the ball was invented on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the game, they didn't say nothing about the pins. All right? So when the pins were introduced, looks like here an 1894 patent shows how bowling balls once had, they put only a thumb and one finger, one hole. So they had a hole for your finger, a hole for your thumb. That's how the original ones were made. So, and I'm looking at the picture. You can go online and check it out.
All right.
So there you go. Now, I'm sure that there may have been, you know, what kind of machine drills into something that hard. Those weren't that prevalent back then. Well, now if you just start,
you had that hammer, what else could you use?
I don't know. I don't know. But whatever they use, it might leave some. Well, it must be splinters, but anyway, they had all kinds of different balls,
too. You probably put some kind of glove or something on.
Well, I'm assuming the original bowling ball was made with plastic, was it not?
Well, it's funny you should say that. Let's see here. Bowling balls were made of a word I can't really pronounce, Lignumvitae, and they have hardwood in parentheses, until 1905, introduced of rubber balls.
They were
rubber.
Yeah, it had to be a
polyester plastic balls were introduced in 1959.
Dude,
which what makes plastic. Me wonder, because they were Dick Weber was bowling before 1959, right?
Yeah.
So what did he use versus what they used?
He used a rubber ball. Hard rubber.
Okay.
And wow. then it morphed into what we see today.
Anyway, there was two holes in the original balls. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about bowling balls.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all act like eight-year-olds. I mean, I just hear something for his laughing over here. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. I tell you what, let me give you something a little bit closer to home.
Yeah.
We talk about things that happened on this day. And were it not for this, we ain't here. But Edison patented the transmission of a signal electronically today. Thomas Edison patents the transmission of signals electronically. It happened today. Basically, radio. That's what it led to.
We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that.
That's what I'm saying.
That is for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that happened on this day. So again, we can move off to bowling balls and whether they had holes in them or not. We go to something that's actually pretty relevant here. Listen, we're going to come back here. We're going to talk Hawks and what they look like right now, but also spend a little bit of time with Caleb talking about UGA getting ready Wednesday night and what this team is going to. And then the news that came down about Carson Beck.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should have maybe considered coming back? Could he have come back? Did he have eligibility? He could have come back, but he didn't. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, man.
And Sam and Greg on this 29th day of December. Thanks for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. We're here on this Sunday morning, 29th day of December. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to be with you tomorrow. We're going to be with you on Tuesday. We're going to be with you on Wednesday. And we're happy to be here.
Yep.
By the way, everybody, this is going to happen now. It's going to be a thing throughout this show. Bowling traces back over 5,000 years, Sam.
They weren't drilling holes back then.
No, they weren't. Bowling traces back nearly 5,000 years to ancient Egypt, where it served as a leisurely pastime for the pharaohs.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, throughout this show, since you teed it up, we're gonna have bowling.
Tee it up.
Yeah, you did. You teed me up there, and you got me thinking about holes and no holes and bowling balls. Today was the day it was invented, so you're going to get more information about bowling balls than you ever wanted in your life. As we welcome Caleb Johnson on. And
who
you
had nothing to do with this.
No, he had nothing to do with it. Caleb, first of all, welcome.
Good morning, Caleb.
He's snickering a little bit here. I was accused of looking like a bowler earlier by Eric. I don't know. have you enjoyed bowling in your younger years, sir?
Yeah, that's something that I enjoyed growing up. I actually, you mentioned bowling. The thing that stands out is a few weeks ago I went up to the Biltmore up in Asheville, North Carolina, and was surprised that they had they had their own bowling setup in the house that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, anywhere there's snow on a regular basis, there's gonna be a bowling alley close by because you gotta have some fun inside.
Yep.
Indoor activity.
That's right, man. So, and then the next question is we're gonna ask our guests: do you know or have you ever had a friend who had their own bowling ball?
Oh, sure.
See?
Yeah, no. Oh, my father-in-law is big into, he's got all the custom, couple different sizes, that whole thing. Yeah. No, I show up to the AMC and I throw it down the center lane. Like, I'm not all the,
there you go.
The sliding and everything like that.
Eric raised his hand. Sam's he's not too sure about this. So, yeah, go ahead, Eric.
A real bowler has his strike ball and his spare ball.
Yep.
Isn't that right, Caleb?
Yep. Look, I couldn't remember what it was called, but yeah, you are right.
Yeah, man, he grew up in an area where there's snow, right? So Eric had to, find activities inside. But anyway, that's not why you called, Caleb. First of all, we want to apologize to you that we've not reached out to you sooner to have you come on and bring your expertise when it comes to this Hawks team or the Bulldogs. So thank you for getting up and joining us this morning.
Yeah, sure. No problem at all.
Unfortunately, he's got to deal with this bowling conversation, but it'll get better after this.
Really, man? Where are we going to start with this, man? Where do you want to start with it?
Well, where do you want to start with him?
Well,
I already started my part.
And about bowling?
And he's had a fun time with us, I guarantee. Ain't you, Caleb?
I don't think so, man. Let's talk.
Listen to him laughing. He's having a good time with us. Eric just brought some information that he didn't know about with the backup ball. Yeah, good luck to you trying to top that.
Let's talk about what this man talks about. We'll tell you what, we're going to get to the Hawks in a minute. But Georgia, all the emphasis is on New Orleans, and we found out now that Carson Beck definitely won't come back. Does this surprise you at all?
Oh, no. No, I think things were headed this direction. If maybe not for the injury, there was some sense that Carson would return and play another year. But everything in this age of the transfer portal and everything like that and everybody using their eligibility, it seemed like there was a natural tendency that Carson was headed towards his time ending at Georgia. And here's the other part of this too, with him having that elbow injury that caused him to have surgery, I think things are much more likely to go in a positive direction for him to be drafted by an NFL team and to get that rehab for an NFL team instead of at a university where maybe they're expecting, hey, if you're going to stick around, you're going to play next year. And I think now he goes to the NFL. He's a part of probably a bit of a weaker draft class behind Shador, behind Cam Ward, and gets that opportunity to most likely just sit next year, not have any expectation to play. And so now this is, Gunner or Jalen Rashada's team when it comes to, the 2025 season coming up next year. But as for right now, it's all pointed towards, Gunnar Stockton getting the start and looking like a guy that I think a lot of Georgia fans can get excited about just simply because he takes more risks than Carson does. And I think that's going to be something that, Georgia fans are going to be both excited to see and a little bit nervous when things at the Sugar Bowl gets kicked off.
That's Caleb Johnson joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. What are your thoughts on this Notre Dame team coming in here? Because, you talk about a guy turning things around, Marcus Freeman getting smacked around by that team from DeKalb, Illinois, directional Illinois team, Northern. Been there many, many, many times. But as they have righted the ship and what they have done to make it to this point this year, what are your thoughts on this Notre Dame program?
They're better than you would like to give them credit for, because there is that part of losing to NIU at the beginning of the season, but then to not lose sense. And I think obviously this team very much driven by their defense. There's nothing about Riley Leonard and this Fighting Irish offense that really scares me very much. However, in the same respect, as we've seen happen, multiple times this season for Georgia's defense, their secondary can have some really big lapses in judgment for them that cause teams to be able to throw the ball on them and really get that element involved. I think that is a bit of a concern for me, but I think, given the fact that Georgia has had this time off to really dive into not only the film study on Notre Dame, but get healthy. That felt like time and time again when we talked about Georgia football and specifically Georgia's defense. It was like, well, you know, they're just not quite healthy enough to really be able to play who they want to play. I think their ability to get this time off, to get healthy, and then, like I mentioned, to get that film study in on Notre Dame should make this one that I feel very comfortable in the dogs. But then again, as we've seen throughout this year and, you know, and the playoff, it's kind of we've been shocked a couple of different times expecting some competitive games and we get blowouts. I'm just hoping this time, you know, things go in favor of the dogs.
We'll watch for that, folks. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline. Our very own Caleb Johnson, great to have him with us. And he is social. You can find him at ATLJohnson18 at ATLJohnson18. All right, folks. He also keeps an eye on everything Atlanta Hawks. And the way this team has gone this season, I don't know about you, Caleb. You know, we were there preseason at the media day, and everybody posed for the pictures. And I'm like, okay, what's to get excited about this team? And look at what happened so far. How do you evaluate this team to this juncture of the schedule?
Man, I will say this. It's been a really fun team to cover just because they enjoy being around each other. And I know there's so much of like, well, that doesn't really matter. Like, at the end of the day, it's about, you know, talent, you know, making it work out on the floor. But there is definitely an element of when you enjoy being around each other, when you have that comfort with each other, they've seem to build over the course of these, 32 games or whatever. It's been a team that they have really thrived on the fact that expectations are low. I think in the past when expectations have been pretty high about, oh, the Hawks are going to be this and they're going to be that, and they don't live up to those expectations because things get a little slow to start the season. This year, it has been expectations obviously low. And what you've gotten as the product out on the court has been, you know, names that you maybe didn't expect to play up to the level. Obviously, that's been led by Dyson Daniels and what he's been able to do this year. But a huge part, it was last night. You didn't have Dyson because, hey, he's sick. Seems the illness, hey, it's not only gone through my family, it's gone through the NBA as well.
Yeah.
Right here around Christmas time, and you got a lot of guys missing because of that. And it was really good to see those defensive principles that Quinn Snyder has put in place show up even when you didn't have, one of your best defender in Dyson Daniels. You had a guy like DeAndre Hunter who's carved out his little role coming off the bench, but really thriving in that. Because you can say it's a little role. It's not a little role. It's a really significant role that maybe doesn't fit the traditional, what we know of, hey, he's getting paid, you know, $20 million a year, so he should be starting. Hey, if he's thriving off the bench and a guy who I think right now is the clear front runner for sixth man of the year,
yep,
and is helping this team win. You put three wins in a row like this, it's a really, really important time, especially as they go out on the road. And this new next, 2 week stretch is going to be quite the gauntlet that they're going to have to fight through. It's been really fun to see this team, put these types of wins together and just play like they have as of late.
Everything that he just said is sort of what I was alluding to when we first started the show, Sam,
yep,
and me talking about, forget chemistry, forget the other stuff. I'm seeing a bounce within these guys. I'm seeing something, and I went through what I was trying to say, and Caleb said they're enjoying themselves. I have played team sports coming up, not at the college level or professional, obviously, but when you play team sports, there are teams that you're on that you kind of go to the game, you play it, and you go home afterwards. Then there are the teams that you play on where you enjoy each other.
Right.
And you spend more time practicing. You spend more time doing silly stuff together that little by little you seem to find a way to incorporate that when you get on, whether it's the court or the field or whatever it is, and it's a plus. It's an unexplained sort of connection that you have with your teammates. And that's what I believe I'm seeing right now. So, Caleb, as we talk about this road trip, these guys are up in Toronto. And, by the way, if you can get in front of a TV, we're going to have that game, Hawks at Toronto, on V103, pre-tip at 5:30, tip at 6. But what do you want to see as this team matures through this present season on this particular road trip?
I think the big thing here, because obviously this team has been carried by Trae Young throughout the season. I mean, it's just the numbers show when Trae is off the floor, this team is just not nearly as good of a basketball team, even with the fact that I think their bench has really showed out. I think there has been not as big a willingness to attack the basketball with Trae off the floor. A lot of guys who were just willing to pass up shots just for the sake of, you know, the better play. But I think, you know, as you go out on the road, you know, kind of do the hotel life for the next, it's literally going to be 2 weeks. And you play some of these teams that are, you know, you're going to get more of the attention when it comes to obviously the Lakers, Nuggets, and Suns and all those sorts of things, is that sense of, you know, that fire that we've seen that they've played lately at State Farm Arena, that, you know, willingness to go and attack the basket, I think, from all standpoints. And then doing something that I don't know that they are particularly built for. And I've talked about it a lot with Chris Thomas when I'm on his show, that when they are missing guys like they were with Dyson Daniels, and now you've got the situation where not only is Onyeka Okongwu out, but now Larry Nance Jr., you know, he's got a hand injury that came up late last night after the game was over. I mean, we were in the locker room talking with Larry, and he seemed okay, but then this injury pops up on the injury report. It's figuring out ways to cover positions that you're not normally handling. It seems like this Hawks team is really good at playing their role, but the minute that, hey, we need you to go do these other things, it seems like there's not that comfortability. And they don't handle that as well as I think some other NBA teams do. But with, you know, essentially, you know, a backup point guard that's going to be trusted in Veet or Keaton Wallace, you know, guys are going to have to be playing in different roles that they're not used to. Jalen Johnson may be playing some 5 minutes tonight. Like, it's a lot of just variability that's going to be happening over the course of this road trip that they're going to have to handle. And it's just, like I said, not something they're particularly good at in the past, but something that, you know, if they're going to want to continue to put these wins together, something they'll have to do.
All right, so here's the good news. This dude was great today.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get Caleb. Hey, the great news is you were wonderful. We're just embarrassed that it took us this long to have you on the show. The bad news is we're going to be waking you up a lot more early in the morning. All right, so get prepared for that, man. I know you're on your way to church. Stay dry out there, and thank you, Caleb. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Caleb.
You guys have a good one.
All right, you take care. That is Caleb Johnson. Yeah, we feel we got it. We got it. You know.
Yeah, we do.
Got a lot more than that. All right, coming up top of the hour, Chris Draft, friend of the show, going to talk about both teams on Sunday Night Football tonight and whatever else is on his mind. But up next, there were some names that have been that have made the finals for the NFL Hall of Fame. Sam and I are going to talk about that next, and I'm sure there'll be another bowling nugget. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. We have got a special guest coming up, top of the hour. Chris Draft is going to be joining us for a couple segments. Going to let you know about how you can check out what job opportunities within the film industry are right around the corner. Again, as far as productions being filmed right now, it's a dead time. But there is movement. The casting directors are still getting ready to cast for upcoming projects in January and February and down the road. And there are people just preparing for what's next. Sam, when I tell you that I spoke with one of the baddest, I won't say mean, but just like that person you don't want to mess with, and we're going to get him on the show. This is one of the people who is one of the top stunt men in the business. in any of the Marvel characters you can think of, this dude has worked with them and has been their stunt double. How do you get to be a stunt double? Well, first of all, you get to be a top of your class in jiu-jitsu and martial arts.
Okay.
And then you become...
That helps.
And then, yeah. And then you dabble a little bit in MMA. You learn about that. This he was telling me about his resume. It's incredible. I can't wait to bring Chris on the show. So it just got me thinking about that. But listen, we got the list of the finalists for the NFL Hall of Fame. Any slam dunks for you? Because the one that they mentioned right now, is he really a slam dunk?
And when you talk about this group,
I know he's going to get in. I'm talking about Eli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But compared to, I'm just curious. It's like two MVPs, two Super Bowl wins.
Mm-hmm.
Do we stop there? Because the other part of his career is maddening.
Okay.
But it
doesn't take away the other stuff, though.
Longevity. He was the Brett Favre of as far as not Brett Favre. Who am I thinking of? The Cal Ripken of quarterbacks. He was there. He was always there. I mean, the Giants penciled him. It was when what's his face took him out, and ended that streak. Who was that coach for the Giants who wanted to make a statement and just sat Eli? Now, mind you, Eli wasn't playing that well.
Yeah, wasn't playing that well.
But ending that, it's not like they had somebody else ready to come in and change the fortunes of the Giants. Either way.
And we've seen what happened to that team since that time.
Exactly.
It's almost like, you know, the departure of our quarterback here in Atlanta. He departed and, people were ready for him to go. Mm-hmm. But we've been in the wilderness, if you will, as far as a quarterback since, you know, is trying to get one in. And even to start this season, the one that started the season is not going to finish the season. And, oh, by the way, there's news of Mr. Penix that came out yesterday. He is now engaged.
Is he?
Yeah.
Congratulations. I was a little busy. I didn't hear that news.
He's a little busy, too.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, he got more on his plate. I'm not going to say nothing about him, man. Yeah. I'm not going to say nothing about it. He obviously found the time to get on a knee and ask the question.
Yeah.
Or are we getting this news? He did that maybe.
No, I think it's something that happened.
Yesterday?
What happened over the holiday. Over the holiday. You know, a little something to do. You get a little downtime and something that you already probably planned on doing ahead of, you know, on a holiday anyway. So you made the purchase.
That's one way to put
the word, and let's go ahead and move forward. You know what? That's the thing. Life. If that's the way he's planning out life, and life is going on now, in between the time he planned on doing this, he's become the starting quarterback.
Well,
and we'll start tonight in prime time with everybody watching.
That's
him.
Right, and
you know what I mean?
Because everybody's knows what's coming.
So I mean, he knows what's coming. I think he's very well prepared for it. So congratulations to him.
Is it one of those things where every little nugget helps and a quarterback who is still finding his way, getting his opportunity right now, that shows some stability with his personal life, meaning getting married, that helps him, right? So maybe that's the reason why. Okay. Well, that's one way to look at it. But either way, I'm just wondering if that's a part of the bigger plan. That's all right. We'll edit that out. Nobody will hear it. Is that something? Because we know the single quarterbacks that are making something like Joe Burrow not too long ago.
Yeah.
We heard what's going on with him and his – by the way, if you weren't listening last segment, it happened again. Another top athlete had his home broken into while he was working. Luka Doncic, it happened to him last night. Last week it was Joe Burrow. And he had somebody at the house. Having some human at the house, I don't know as much of a deterrent as if you got yourself a couple Rottweilers. Along with the alarm system. But anyway, along with Eli Manning, Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly.
What do you think?
Kuechly is there. I think there's a possibility for him.
Terrell Suggs?
A possibility. I mean, you got a guy that I thought should have maybe get some always get consideration. That's Torrey Holt. Because with the Rams and, of course, them winning the Super Bowl here in Atlanta.
So, greatest show on turf.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a big part of that. We got a couple of people on here who live in the area, make their home now. It's retired. Big Willie Anderson is here. You mentioned the Cincinnati Bengals, and this guy for a long time was a stalwart on that offensive line for the Cincinnati Bengals. And now he spends a lot of time, you know, coaching and working with young people who want to play that position here in town. So Shout out to Willie Anderson. It'd be good to see him get that call this time.
Mike Holmgren in the seniors category. There's some guys with enshrinement, you know, under those different entry points.
The name to give me is Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp is that name that just sits out there, and you just know the career that was shortened, that was on the way, that was headed in this direction. You know, and it's something when you talk to Shannon, Shannon will tell you, you know, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you can't ask him.
And I'm not even the best football player in my family. I'm not even the best football player in my house, you know.
Well, then let me ask you then. During Sterling's time as a wide receiver, and another guy that's out there, too, that's being up for consideration, Steve Smith Sr.
Yeah, very much.
Were they?
You got Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne is there.
He's that extra. He's that. Oh yeah, I forgot about him. He's Reggie Wayne.
Peyton was throwing it to somebody.
I got it. But he is to me what John Taylor was for those 49er teams with Jerry Rice, because you had Jerry Rice, you had Joe Montana. That connection was always there. But people sleep on John Taylor.
Yeah,
was that other wide receiver? Same thing with the Cowboys.
Well, the same thing with the Dolphins and Marino.
Thank you. Well, you had the Marx brothers. They were connected though.
You know, but I mean, he was racking up them yards. He was throwing it to somebody.
But I think that that was more looked at as they were equal, as opposed to Jerry getting most of them with the 49ers, or these Marvin Harrison getting most of them with Peyton. But you're right. Yeah, he was on those teams. But here's the thing: as opposed to those other, Peyton didn't. You know, he got to one Super Bowl with a Colts helmet on.
Okay,
just the one. So I'm saying, had they won multiple, those two wide receivers,
at least you know. Marino only got the one.
And our Duper and Clayton in the Hall of Fame? Mm. There you go. So I'm saying, we know of them because we know of Dan Marino's career and what he was. But had he gone to more Super Bowls, maybe those guys would have benefited from it. Anyway, so you have those, and I agree with you. It's one of those where I keep thinking about what people have said for years. If you got to think about it, maybe they're not a Hall of Famer. Like when you mention so-and-so's name, if you don't immediately go, oh, yeah, Hall of Famer. Then,
well, the one that ought to jump off the page for you is one you said was your mom, one of your mom's favorite players,
Jim Plunkett,
not a Hall of Famer.
Two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. But yeah, I don't have his numbers in front of me, and I don't know.
Yeah, but
what you, kind of?
But most of the quarterbacks that win that game is their entree, but not for him.
No. Listen, we got MVPs that we talked about in other sports. It really is strange when you look at how these guys are voted in. And now, as opposed to just one level of entry, you have these multiple levels of entry into the NFL Hall of Fame. And do you feel like you have to wait for that seniors committee to give you a due? Or the one like with baseball, where the players who played.
You got Jared Allen. You got a defensive end, and Jared Allen is a finalist. Antonio Gates, you talk about a great tight end. You do have some.
Antonio Gates, I figured would be in there right now.
Yep, you got some.
Fred Taylor, another one.
Adam Vinatieri, you know, and it's rare to get those kickers and punters mm-hmm. in, but he was synonymous. He was always there with those teams, those championship teams in New England. So you got some names you have to think about.
All right, Dan Marino went in because of what he put up number wise, right?
Yeah,
one Super Bowl appearance.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who was drafted the same year as Eli is known for his numbers, but not Super Bowl appearances. And let me ask you this. Does Philip Rivers go in your mind?
Eventually.
No, but I mean when he's eligible, in your mind, is he going?
I don't know if he's the first on the first time because he's not a Super Bowl guy, but because of the numbers he's accumulated, he will get in.
I agree with you. I don't know whether he's first. I mean, there's some people
The yards are the yards.
Exactly.
You don't take those away. You know.
And he was one of the top quarterbacks when he played.
Yeah.
Now, you can talk about the teams he was on.
Right.
But,
you know, and despite that. And we kind of got that going on up in Cincinnati right now. We got a guy that's lighting it up. You know what I mean?
How many, again, and this is a sports talk radio, you know, question.
I'm looking at the other side of the glass. Eric's over here chomping at the bit.
Oh, come on in here, man. How many Hall of Famers we got right now planned, guaranteed, going in?
We got a guy with the Ravens who's up this time. We got a couple of our former Ravens that are up now, right? These guys.
Who else? So you said Suggs. Who else on the Ravens?
Marshall Yanda,
the offensive guard.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. See.
How do you measure that? That's got to be a football savant to know. I could never with Marshall the exception Yonder of a few.
He's got to be probably a 7 or 8-time All-Pro. Okay.
Okay. For guards and tackles. Yeah,
yes,
that one.
You know, I remember that old commercial. We got to get the break. Remember the old commercial Derrick Brooks had on the bus? He said, "Who's your favorite player, Mr. Derrick Brooks?" And they would go, 7 times Pro Bowl. He said, "No, 7 times All Pro. That means you're the best at your position."
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody can make the Pro Bowl because it's a fan voting. When you're All Pro, that means you're the best at your position for almost a whole decade. You're in the NFL. Just like Willie Rofe with the Kansas City. Before Kansas City ever got good, Willie Rofe was the best tackle in the game. That's a Hall of Famer. Couple of guys you mentioned, I think it was yesterday, a couple of games ago, you guys said, it's not the Hall of Very Good, it's the Hall of Fame. Some of these guys are just very good. Phillip Rivers, in my opinion, very, very good. Not necessarily Hall of Fame, but very, very good.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I was, like I said, curious about that and that whole back and forth between him and Eli and his daddy and not wanting to play for San Diego and that whole flip with Phillip Rivers and all that.
A little power broker in there.
I don't know. He's going to get in, and God bless him. But he played in the shadow of his big brother, and yet still, when he came – listen, as far as I'm concerned, he goes in for what he did to New England. He stopped an undefeated season.
Not once, but twice.
Well, they weren't undefeated the second.
But still, he took that boy down twice.
He took him down twice, but it was the one that was – they're the only 16-0 team in regular season, right? But that one hiccup, man. We are enjoying a wonderful Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. The rain seems to be heading out of the area. If you're going to head on out, be very, very careful out there. We're hoping that we got ourselves a special guest joining us next. He'll be here for a minute. We're going to talk Falcons. We're going to talk Washington and whatever else is on his mind. Chris Draft, hopefully, will be joining us next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app.